introduced Andrew Borg to you. Some of you might have met Andrew and been down to the Borg alpaca farm. And I think a couple of you might have met Andrew too. He helped us out to quit our cocoa project. Andrew is also the land care coordinator for the Bulloke and Northern Grampians Land Care Network, and I thought it'd be a good idea if we didn't have a bit of a history of that land care network. It might be all that old, although time does fly. So I'll hand over to Andrew and he can tell you about that. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks very much for inviting me here today, especially Anne. It's always a pleasure to come out and have a chat with people. Especially as I'm a history buff myself. I'm actually a trained archaeologist. I do love looking around at all the sorts of things we've seen there, and I've actually seen some photos that I've seen before in my wife's family history. My wife is a Canoa Bridge local, but has sort of family all around. So I've definitely got to come back here and have a look at another time. Anyway, as Anne said, my name's Andrew Borg. I'm the Landcare Facilitator for Bulloke Northern Grampians Landcare Network. I've had that job for about 2.5 years, and to be honest, it's the best job I've ever had. I don't have a background in the environment. I did grow up on a farm, but most of my life was spent interstate and travelling around in the Air Force and then working with the Army. So I've sort of come across from that sort of background to a background where it's all agricultural and environment. So to be honest, you probably know more about land care than I do. You've certainly probably had more years association with land care than I have. But hopefully I can find something that might interest you today. So land care, as most people know, started 35 years ago. And land care has its origins at Wingerlock, which is in the Bulloke Northern Grampians Land Care Network region. It started, the land care word was coined in 1986 by the office of Joan Kerner, who was at that stage the Minister for Conservation, Forests and Lands. And she got together with Heather Mitchell, who was the then President of the Victorian Farmers Federation, and they decided that maybe there was a good opportunity for the groups to come together and to incorporate a bit of conservation in there as well to actually make improvements to agricultural land. So that started in 1986, but in itself that came about from earlier work on soil and water management that started earlier in the 70s and 80s, and again going further back from environmental work in the 50s. So it's got a little bit of a history, even though land care, and we like to say we like the history to start at 1986, because that's when it started in the local area. So we tend to claim 1986, and everything else before that was just building up to land care. Now it's interesting when you actually have a look, when you actually go online and you ask the question of good old Google, when did land care begin? It will tell you on Google that land care began in 1989 with Bob Hawke, which was 3 years after Landcare Victoria started. You will read that New South Wales was where it started in 1989, when in actual fact, New South Wales Landcare didn't start until 2007. So New South Wales will like to claim it, but apart from the fact that national Landcare started in New South Wales in 1989, it started in Victoria before it started anywhere else. Now, just a little bit of a timeline. I mentioned 1986 in Wingerlock. 1989, Bob Hawke announced it at Wentworth and said, "Not the 90s will be the decade of land care," and they put in about $320 million into forming land care groups right around the place. But it wasn't until 1994 that Tasmania got involved. 1998, junior land care started, so that was aimed at trying to get the next generation to come through. And that was with schools and scouts and all that sort of thing. So that was 1998. In 1999, South Australia came on board and had South Australian Landcare. Queensland in 2004, then New South Wales, as I said, in 2007. It went international in 2008, it went international. So it's now in about 25 countries around the world on that Landcare model. And it was only in 2013 that West Australia came to the party. So we went international before West Australia came into it, which is sort of a little bit like COVID as well, I think, as West Australia came in there a little bit late. But obviously there was very small beginnings. Started off with a few farmers. I'm not sure whether anyone's heard of Terry Simpson down at Wingerlock. There is a little plaque there on a windswept hill saying that that's where Landcare started. It's a little bit hard to find. I know when I first came into the role that I went looking for it, and I ended up getting lost before I found it, but that's all right. So in Victoria, I'm going to give you a little bit of context about how hard it is to do Landcare stuff. In Victoria, we have 47 Landcare networks, of which obviously Bullock Northern Grampians Landcare Network is one of them. There are 494 Landcare groups across Victoria, and there is about 17,500 volunteers. Now, our operating budget for that, Landcare Victoria had about $1 million last year. Now, I'm going to put that in context, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not begrudging sport or anything like that, but it would be much better if we were called Landcare Sporting Club. Because, as I said, in Victoria, 47 Landcare networks. In Victoria, there are 42 football leagues. In Victoria, there are 494 Landcare groups. There's about 500 regional football clubs. As I said, Victorian operating budget for Landcare was $1 million. $18 million in grants has just been given from the AFL to those country football clubs. That's only from the AFL. Victorian government has thrown in half a billion dollars into infrastructure upgrades. And we're struggling to get $1 million. So there's a little bit of context. As I say, I don't begrudge the sports getting what they want, but it becomes really political. So politicians will hand out money to where they think they can get votes and a bit of public support. But personally, it'd be nicer for myself if I saw it going to places like history and the environment. But unless we call ourselves sporting clubs, that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. In terms of what we do, you ask people what Landcare does, and most people will say, you plant trees. And that's correct. To some extent, we do plant trees. But there's a lot of other things we do in terms of pest and weed management, advocating for the environment, sustainable agriculture, and moving into regenerative agriculture, trying to improve our soils, to drought-proof our country, to make healthier food, all those sorts of things Landcare's sort of covering. Into biodiversity, habitat restoration and monitoring, and then citizen science, and trying to bring the kids through to be interested in the bush and natural history. I think we do it quite well in terms of what we do as a network. And in fact, there's something here I wanted to show you today, because this group was actually part of it with your plant out down at Cope Cup. And I didn't actually come that way today, so I'm not sure how the trees are going. But at the end of last year, we were awarded Network of the Year in Landcare. So I've got a couple of trophies in that to show you there, including the trees that you planted down at Cope Cup. Our network planted 20,032 trees. And that was during COVID, when we couldn't get groups out to plant. So that's in 2020. We had projects from Canoa Bridge, obviously Cope Cope, Avon Plains, Kalawatta, Natty Alec, pretty much the whole box and dice. Now, I should have said that Bullock Northern Grampians, we have about 20 groups, and we cover an area from roughly here, a little bit further north, across to Witchproof, down to Natty Alec, over the range out to Kalawatta, back up through Manu, Avon Plains. So our area that we cover is about 6,500 square kilometres. Our operating budget is about $30,000 a year. So that's about it. So that 20,032 trees, we had about, if you look at that, it is about 5 minutes to plant a seedling. Aside from all the other work that you've got to do to get the seedlings and to prepare the ground and all that sort of thing, 5 minutes of seedling, that's 1,670 volunteer hours alone. So volunteer hours in Landcare is something that is highly respected. And in fact, even the government acknowledge that for every dollar that's put into Landcare, they get about $7 value back, and yet we can't get more money. It's that political thing. So what we did, as I said last year, we picked up this trophy. So that was in part for planting trees and all the other activities that we did, and picked up that one as well. So I'm actually, if anyone's got any ideas, these are moving around at the moment because it's not the network's award, it's all the groups, and this includes your group. So if there's somewhere in Donald we can display them, they've just come from Witcherproof, please let me know and I'm happy to leave them up here and get them sort of a bit of advertising for the network and for Landcare. We also picked up another one for other environmental work, and that's the Premier Sustainability Awards or Keep Victoria Beautiful. Picked us up another one, and that was for the work we did in biodiversity in 2020-21. So we're actually starting to get a good name in the network, which is brilliant, because now we're getting interest and we're getting some private groups coming up and saying, you know, we'd like to make a donation, which is always good. So as I said, we plant trees. We still do a lot of erosion work. Now down at Wingerlock, I don't think you have too many erosion problems up here, but certainly down at Wingerlock, that's where a lot of the Landcare work began, was eroded landscapes coming off the side of the range. We obviously do a lot of pests and weeds. Out at Avon Plains last year, we did a survey for rabbits to see how bad it was out there. Found about 100 rabbit warrens after a survey of about 7,000 hectares, and they're working to clear that at the moment. So that's the sort of thing that we get up and do. We also, we're sort of creating a new little bit of history at the moment. We have actually just in the past 12 months created a regenerative agriculture group, which is a group of younger farmers who are willing to try a few different things to see what they can do to improve the soil, and that's everything from just planting a few trees and bio corridors and things like that, to actually taking a scientific approach to the soil and seeing what they can do to improve conditions. Because obviously as we go along, the soils we have in Australia are pretty poor, pretty nutrient poor, also not really good for drought for the sorts of species that we plant in terms of crops and things like that. So they're going through and they're having a look at how they can build up the soil in terms of microbes and the biology of the soil to make healthier crops. As I said, in biodiversity, so one of the awards that we picked up, we thought we'd give it a go. Two years ago was our first year. We actually entered a biodiversity competition, which was for the entire Southern Hemisphere. So it was called the Great Southern BioBlitz. The whole idea was to get people to go out on one weekend, walk into the bush and enjoy the bush, take photos of things that they'd never seen before and upload them to a program online. Now we were competing against, it is a competition, so we've got Bullock Northern Grampians, so we've obviously, you know, that area that I mentioned before, and we were competing against South Africa and South America and all this sort of thing. We actually finished in the top 25, which was pretty good. We got beaten by Cape Town. Sydney and Melbourne beat us, but Buenos Aires beat us and Lima in Peru and things like that. But to finish in the top 25, just from having a bit of fun with biodiversity, was really good, which is something that we've continued on since then. And it's becoming a focus that we can, with the kids, to get the kids in from the primary schools to actually teach them, take them for walks out in the bush and try to get them to appreciate natural beauty and that sort of thing. I had year nines from St Arnold Secondary College come and camp at my house because my property borders the Karakara National Park, which was really good and a bit of an eye-opener for them, because from my property you can walk 100 metres from my house and you're in gold country. There are mine shafts and there are pits and there are all sorts of things. And you can actually see the devastation that caused to the natural environment. You walk on a bit further and you have a look at the damage that was done in Karakara during the 1920s, the Depression, where they brought up effectively work groups, put them out in the bush to chop down the trees to keep them employed. So Karakara National Park, is, as it looks today, it looks nice, but it's not natural. There are very few of the natural old trees there, which causes a bit of a hassle for us in Landcare, for reasons I'll go into it in a moment. But as I said, to actually get the kids out there and say, this is what we've done, this is part of our history, and we've got to embrace that part of our history, but we've now got to try and rectify that. And then I was able to take the kids from that to an area which is pretty much untouched. And it's an area on my property where there are some magnificent trees. There are some Aboriginal stone tools, which was great. As I said, I'm an archaeologist. To find those on my property, I was pretty rapt. We recorded those and we've left them in place until someone wants to go and have a look at them. So I think it's really important, you know, as we sort of progress to get the kids interested in both history and the natural environment. And that's certainly one of the things that Landcare is now taking on more and more. One of the other things, as I said, biodiversity. Not great what Australia has generally done to biodiversity, sometimes by accident, sometimes because we thought we were doing the right thing and it's actually backfired on us. What we've actually got is, as an example in Karakara National Park at the moment, is the fact that there are no old growth trees. There are no old growth trees, which means there are no hollows. There are no hollows, which means there are, you know, species of animals that probably most people would never have heard of. And I'll certainly say that to each of the schools that come through my property. Hands up, who's heard of an Antechinus or a Fastigale or a Dunart? Now, these are all Australian animals that we should know, but no one's ever seen them before because they no longer exist. Certainly out in Karakara. So one of the things that we're trying to do with biodiversity with Landcare on my property is we're breeding these little guys. So that's a Landcare project. I'll let you come up and have a look at that. It's actually a squirrel glider. So we've got sugar gliders, which are the little flying possums. Squirrel gliders have got big fluffy tails like a squirrel, slightly larger. They've been locally extinct in our area since 1996. And the reason they're extinct is because there's just no old growth trees for them to live in. That and with the uptake of feral cats and foxes and things like that. So there's all these balancing acts that we've got to try and fix to get things right again. I'll just finish up, just give you an idea of what Landcare's up to now in terms of the network. One thing, we had a meeting, steering group meeting a couple of weeks ago. And someone asked me what my vision of Landcare was, which was a funny question because it was the same question that was asked of me by the CEO of Landcare Victoria a couple of weeks before. So I had a great answer ready to go. What I'd really like to see is a bit more importance placed on Landcare and its history and recognition of the people that started it. So as I said to the group, what I think would be really great for our region is a National Landcare Museum. You've got national organisations everywhere opening up museums and things like that. Why not a Landcare one? Be proud of the fact that it started in this area. Get in some collections, get in some archive information and actually put it out there for people. So that's something we're actually going to start to do. And in conjunction with that, we're actually putting out a, for want of another term, effectively a Hall of Fame to start recognising the people of the district. And when I say district, I'm talking our entire network area. So from here across to Witchy down to Natty Yellick, so that we can actually start to recognise these people. So that when you talk about these people to the kids and things like that, they understand that there is a history involved with Landcare and it's an important one. We're also working with the St Arnaud Railway Hub, so the old railway station down at St Arnaud, and it's a project that we're hoping to get going there, and if it works, we want to roll it out to each of the towns in the area, and that's a memorial garden with some plaques of four people that have passed who were vitally important to Landcare and its development. So one thing I will be doing is coming to each of the historical groups across the network area and saying, can you help me out with any ideas of people that we should recognise and photos of them, that sort of thing. We're also going to be doing a lot more work with traditional owners. I'm not sure is this Judge Arung here or Barangay Gadjin?
It's a bit of a grey area.
Yeah.
But they have begun that side of the river.
Yep.
Judge Arung this side.
Yeah, so we're doing a bit of work.
We've had them both out on country, so they're happy to work.
Yeah. No, down, certainly down further south, Karakara is Judge Arung. Further north, it becomes a little bit of a problem up around Witcherproof. So, sort of northeast, because there are no registered Aboriginal parties there, and they're all arguing over the mount. So it makes it a little bit harder to get things happening there. We're trying to increase that partnership, and we've had them involved with coming and doing smoking ceremonies down in St Arnold and things like that for a couple of local events we've had down there, and more than happy to organise that if anyone's interested up this way as well. The other thing we're doing is, because of things like climate change, we are starting to collect native seed for Seeding Victoria. Because you'll hear all these big plans from government saying that they're going to plant X number of 100,000 trees across 1 million acres and all this sort of thing. There is currently not enough seed completely in the entirety of Australia to plant as many trees as they want to plant. So it is pie in the sky. And what will inevitably happen is that if we don't get those trees in the ground, that money will come back and you'll never see that again. So what we're trying to do is work with Seeding Victoria to actually get people out planting and all that sort of thing. And having an organisation which is really for everyone, just getting people out and learning about natural history of the bush and all that sort of thing. So that's pretty much where we're going. I've also got some things up here if people are wanting to look at some handouts and that. But the other thing we do is we hand out bushfire material, we hand out pest and weed material, all that sort of thing. So I've got a few handouts here. If anyone wants them, please feel free to take them. But apart from that, thank you very much for having me here today. Thank you. Yep.
When did we start the Landcare Network?
The Bullock Northern Grampians Landcare Network was 2006.
2006.
So even our Landcare Network got in before New South Wales started Landcare. So, yeah.
So you're helping in Western Australia.
Yeah.
A question relating to bushfires. You just mentioned that there's starting to be a movement upon looking at, I suppose, traditional techniques for trying to control bushfires or limit the damage. Is this being looked at by Landcare as part of their move?
Not really looked at by Landcare, but we are certainly working with the traditional owners to try and identify sites that they themselves can learn on. So we're trying to provide that link between the traditional owners and private landowners who are looking to try that sort of thing.
Yeah.
On the public land, you're really talking about DELP and Parks and their involvement directly with... So it depends on the level. You talk bushfires, that's pretty much what got me into Landcare.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago, I was fighting fires up in New South Wales. I was deployed up there during the Black Summer fires, and seeing tropical rainforest on fire was something I never thought I'd see.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, yeah, maybe I'm in the wrong job. Maybe I need to try and do something a bit more positive. So, yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
Any other questions? Go.